Friends, well, this has been an interesting week. As you've heard by now, partway through the week I got sick, and although my rapid tests have been negative, it's important, of course, to be cautious and to make sure that I don't share my illness, whatever it turns out to be. So I'm sorry I can't be with you in person, but I'm grateful to share in this service via video. You know, when I first let folks know that I was sick, I was delighted that everyone in our leadership group was quick to offer their help. I'm so grateful to Carrie and Susan and Tanya, especially, who have taken up extra duties today to lead worship and help me with this video. It's such a joy and privilege to work with such thoughtful, capable, and faithful colleagues, and to have complete confidence in them. I know the service is in good hands. I gotta say, though, I think I'm in a much better position than Jesus was, don't you think? As we hear and reflect on the events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples didn't exactly come through for Jesus, did they? When they're at the Last Supper, they get into an argument about which one of them is the greatest. Then, as we heard this morning, when Jesus tells them to pray, they fall asleep instead, while Jesus prays in anguish. Then Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. And when one of them draws a sword, Jesus has to intervene. "Enough of this," he says. Then there's Peter, who had only just promised to follow Jesus no matter what, to prison or even death. But by the fire in the courtyard, when a woman recognizes him as a disciple, Peter lies about knowing Jesus, not once, but three times. But I do wonder if any of us would have done any better. I rather doubt it. Hopefully, none of us would have betrayed Jesus to the authorities like Judas, but could we have hung in with Jesus under threat of arrest and possible execution? I'm not sure you noticed, but Luke says that when they went up the Mount of Olives to pray, Jesus urged them to pray, but the disciples fell asleep because of grief. They were so overwhelmed by sorrow for what was coming that it totally exhausted them. The disciples really were doing their best, but they were utterly overwhelmed. Even Peter, who failed in the heat of the moment, was so anguished over his betrayal. He wept bitterly. This is the hard stuff, isn't it? This week, we retell the darkest part of our story, the central story of our faith. Every year, we retell the story of how Jesus rode into Jerusalem and people praised him, singing Hosanna like you did with your parade. And then we remember that just a few days later, things go south in a big, big way. When Jesus is hauled up on charges of sedition and blasphemy, some of the folks, same folks who sang hosannas, called out for Jesus to be crucified. Why do we tell this story every year, over and over again? Yes, we do that with many stories, really all of our stories, but why this one that's so dark? It's so hard. It's disturbing on many levels, not only because of the violence of the cross, but the way some Christians have interpreted Jesus' death also raises troubling questions about the nature of God. Any way you look at it, it's a troubling story. And perhaps it's even more disturbing because this story, this narrative, is at the very center of our faith tradition. The cross continues to be a central symbol of our faith, and more importantly, a central moment for us. It's so much more than a piece of jewelry or even simply a symbol. It is a central moment for our faith. And it is strange, really. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul describes it as foolishness. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, he says. For the message of the cross is foolishness. The cross is nonsense. It's nonsense to a world that believes in might is right, and the stronger the better, the bigger the better. The cross is nonsense in our world, the world of Putin, of institutional racism in Indian residential schools, just as it was in Paul's world. Foolish nonsense. How can the God of the universe be hung on a cross? This is the scandal of Christianity. For many people of faith, it's unthinkable that God would be human at all. But then to be hung on a cross only proved that Jesus was an outlaw, a crook, instead of the Son of God. Surely no God would ever submit to such a fate. It makes no sense. It was nonsense. And yet somehow this crucifixion is the centerpiece, the climax of Jesus' story. We proclaim Christ crucified. It's the foundation of our faith. How embarrassing. How ridiculous. What foolishness. Things started out well enough, a miraculous birth, precious gifts from wise ones from the east, and the miracles, those were great too. Lots of healing, wonderful stuff. Turning water into wine, feeding thousands with a couple of loaves, walking on water. And he spoke with such authority. He told wonderful stories full of meaning and wisdom. He proclaimed such good news of God's kingdom of love and how even the poor and the outcast were included. The whole story was going well. Until this, of course. Until Jesus decides to go to Jerusalem, even though they warned him not to. Do you remember that? They warned him. The Pharisees tried to warn him about Herod's plan to kill him. And the disciples too. When Jesus talked about the suffering that would come, even death itself, Peter took him aside and begged him not to go through with it. But Jesus told him off, called him the devil, and carried on. Nothing could deter him from following God's way of radical love. Why do we have to tell this story again? A miracle worker, a healer, and a great teacher? Now that's the Son of God. But a naked man on a cross? How can that be God? It's been a stumbling block even for Christians throughout the ages. We've come up with all kinds of theological gymnastics to explain the cross. We have theologies of atonement that make the cross necessary for salvation. We make God's forgiveness dependent on Christ's sacrifice on the cross. But God was forgiving people long before Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus never said a word about how his crucifixion, his death, was what made our salvation possible. It's just not that simple to explain away the scandal, the paradox of the crucified God. God who created the heavens and the earth. God who freed the people from Egypt. The great God of the universe who knows all, who sees all, is in all. This God emptied himself of all that power, came among us, was born here, lived here, and died a horrible, humiliating death on a cross. Why? Because of the most powerful of all God's attributes. Love. Because of love. God's love for creation, God's ultimate act in all of history was the self-emptying, the self-humbling act of submission to the worst of human fates at the hands of a violent imperial power and a corrupt religious establishment. In Jesus Christ, God emptied himself of power and status to subject himself to the full scope of human suffering. God took the initiative to show us the way to healing and reconciliation. The way home was the way of the cross. Throughout his life, Jesus identified himself with the outcast, the downtrodden, the very worst elements of society. He was a friend to all the people out on the margins, the poor, the diseased, women, children, the unpopular. Jesus entered human experience in all of its fullness, even death. The cross is not what makes forgiveness possible, but it is what saves us, not by appeasing a holy, angry God, but because it was the ultimate moment of true incarnation. Christ didn't simply dabble in the human experience. He lived it all. Love and loss, joy and betrayal, and utter complete abandonment, injustice, tortured suffering, and humiliating death. In Christ, God didn't just meet us halfway. God came all the way into humanity to show us the way of life, to give us life. And when you think about it, a privileged life wouldn't have been enough to do that. To give life to all of us, every person, Jesus submitted to the utter depths of human suffering. It wasn't to balance some cosmic spreadsheet. It was to save us all, no matter how deeply wounded we are, no matter how utterly corrupt our lives may be. As we find union with Christ and rediscover our adoption as beloved children of God, we receive new life. When we claim hope in the midst of despair, light in the midst of darkness, our hope is based not on some image of pie in the sky. No, our hope is based on the cross of Jesus. That in the pit of despair where all hope is lost, when suffering becomes totally overwhelming, God is still there. And God brings life out of death. The ultimate end, the complete loss, is still beyond the reach, is not beyond the reach of God's power and love. The ultimate end, the complete loss, is still not beyond the reach of God's power and love. Jesus shows us that the way to healing and wholeness is the way of submission, self-giving, humility, to humble ourselves and learn, open ourselves to those who are outcast and discarded. When the church forgot to follow the crucified, humiliated Christ, we did so much damage. As we got caught up in imperial and colonial power, we committed atrocities in the name of God. We caused such profound harm and abuse to indigenous people throughout the world, from India to Java to West Africa to the Americas. We can hardly blame folks who have given up on the church, given our legacy of distortion and abuse. But the cross means that even this old institution is not beyond redemption. Our way back home is the way of the cross, the way of Jesus, who humbled himself even unto death, so that others might live. This is why we need to tell this story over and over again. We need to rehearse it to rediscover its power for our own lives personally and for life as a community, as institutions too. How can we have hope in the face of the terrible suffering in our world? How can we proclaim recovery and life in the face of death, warfare, disease, institutional racism, and the destruction of our planet? We believe in life and hope because we follow the way of self-giving love. We follow Jesus, who humbled himself in the service of others, who defied the powers of empire and religious institution, and showed us that even in places of deep suffering, intergenerational trauma, addiction, and disease, even in a time when we are awash in a sea of tragedies, God is here with us in the midst of it all. In the depths of human experience, in our most painful moments, Christ is with us. We are not alone. Amen.